Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Well, I'm afraid you have not got Johnny Burrow this evening. Look, Johnny's going to be back next week. I'm afraid you've still got me. Who's me? Jake Watson for another hour this evening. I'm sorry, there's that presumption there. You're going to know who this is. I do Sunday evenings here, so you perhaps don't usually hear me at this time of the evening. At this point of the week, it is the transfer rumour mill, where we do exactly what it says on the tin. We go through all the big transfer rumours that are circulating at the moment. Just 3 weeks, by the way, just over 3 weeks until that transfer window slams shut. So over the course of the evening, very shortly, we're going to be speaking to Chris Thompson about Charlton, their preparations for being back in the Championship, who they've been linked with, who they've already signed. Also, a little bit of word on Joe Aribo as well. He joined Glasgow Rangers. Wasn't even in their squad today for their Europa League qualification game against the Gibraltar Giants. I've even forgotten their name. They're that big. But they won 4-0, and that's the most important thing. Also going to speak to some Chelsea. I think, why Chelsea, you say? They've got a transfer ban. How can we talk about rumours? Well, look, there are suggestions that a number of their players could still be leaving. We just had the Crystal Palace boys in talking about hopes of getting Batshuayi back. Could he be allowed to leave? They have got Tammy Abraham. They have got Olivier Giroud. So we're doing that with Jonathan Kidd from the Chelsea Fancast. Jonathan's always great value. Also, Gab Sutton from Football Lab will do a kind of a roundup of Championship transfers. In particular, what I want to speak to him about is Luton. Now, they've just had back-to-back promotions. League 2, League 1, into the Championship. However, it's kind of not really perhaps going the way they want it to go. You know, when you are so successful, what tends to happen is the big boys come and pick off your best players. So they lost their manager, didn't they? Nathan Jones, at the back end of last season. He went to Stoke. Well, this summer already they've lost James Justin to Leicester City, got around £10 million for him. But I'm not sure if you saw today, Jack Stacey, their other fullback, well, he signed to Bournemouth today. So Luton, they're going to this season in the Championship, of course, a level higher than before, without the manager that they had before, and also two of their best players. So what does this mean to Luton? Obviously, they've been financially compensated, but who are they bringing in? Are they going to be able to cope with the Championship? And also as well, we'll do some lower league, League 1, League 2, with James Richards from the D3D4 website. I spoke to James a number of times over the course of last season. He's absolutely brilliant. He knows his stuff. So he'll be letting us know what kind of the big movers and shakers are down in League 1 and League 2. But just to bring you up to date with a couple of the big boys, the big transfer rumours that you're probably sick and tired of hearing about already, but it has to be done, doesn't it? We'll start with Romelu Lukaku and Paul Pogba. Paul Pogba, known to be wanting to move away from Manchester United this summer. He says he wants a fresh challenge. I'm even bored saying it. But his agent, Mino Raiola, has been speaking, as he often does, about Paul Pogba. And get this, he says that Paul Pogba has done nothing wrong and has been respectful and professional with Manchester United, despite, of course, wanting to leave the football club. So this is his full statement. The player's done nothing wrong. He's been respectful and professional in every way. The club knows his feeling for a long time. It's a shame other people only like to criticise without the right information. And I'm also sorry that the club does not take any position against this. Hopefully there'll be soon a satisfying solution for all parties. So effectively, my reading of that statement from Mino Raiola there is he's actually criticising Manchester United for not publicly backing Paul Pogba, for publicly saying he wants to leave the football club. Mind boggles, but it looks at some point that Paul Pogba will leave Manchester United. But as things stand, he is in Australia for their pre-season tour. And rather interestingly, I'm not sure if you saw, if you haven't, head over to Manchester United's Twitter account, because it is still unbelievably still there. They posted a picture yesterday of the Manchester United first team players going for a walk, soaking in the lovely Australian evening, all the players talking and chatting. But you'll see 11 seconds in, and trust me, it's 11 seconds in, you see Paul Pogba and Jesse Lingard appear to be having somewhat of a spat. You only see them for about a second, but it's quite clear they're not hugging. They're not telling a joke. And Victor Lindelof pulling Paul Pogba away. Unbelievable that Manchester United have allowed that video to go on their official account and is still there, particularly when it's considering Lingard and Paul Pogba, the two Manchester United players who have come under more criticism than anyone else. But that's the update regarding Paul Pogba. Me and Areola upset that Manchester United have not publicly backed him for publicly saying he wants to leave the football club. Regarding Romelu Lukaku, he is also in Australia at the moment. Heavy, heavy links with Inter Milan. The story is that Manchester United wants 75 million quid. Inter Milan can't quite afford that. They're looking for a cash plus player deal. The Belgian midfielder Raja Nainggolan and also the Argentinian striker Mauro Icardi, they've been told they've got no future at the club. Antonio Conte, the manager there at Inter Milan. Well, the reports today in regards to an update on this transfer is that Inter Milan officials are due to arrive in the UK this week to try to step up the talks with Manchester United over that deal for Romelu Lukaku. Inter Milan incredibly confident that they will get that deal done. So we shall wait and see regarding Lukaku and Pogba. But look, if they do lose those two players, there's no question whatsoever that Manchester United will need to bring in some replacements. And they will be obviously financially compensated rather handsomely for those two players. But they need to start moving. Just over 3 weeks left, just as I said, regarding a transfer window it being open. And also today, Manchester United, we talk about Paul Pogba, if he's going to leave. Well, requires today, inquiries have been made for Mario Lemina, the Southampton midfielder. Manchester United fans, would you be happy with that? I mean, the guy has played for Juventus before, but he doesn't strike me as a particularly marquee signing. But Manchester United reports are they've made an inquiry for him today. Also suggestions that Arsenal also interested in signing him. I believe beforehand they have tried getting him on. So Mario Lemina, the Southampton midfielder, attracted interest from both Manchester United and Arsenal this summer. Interestingly, with Arsenal today, it's not exactly transfer news in terms of rumours and speculation, but it's good news for them with regards to perhaps potentially bringing in some new faces. Their former midfielder, Edu, has been announced today as the club's technical director. So he is going to be kind of tasked with helping transfers and bringing players in. As things stand, nobody has actually been brought in as an Arsenal player this summer, but it's hoped now that Edu is at the club, the likes of the moves for Lemina, also the Saint Etienne defender Wilson Sabila, could also happen. Suggestions are that deal is very, very close to happening. He's a 19-year-old defender, thought to cost around £24 million, but he wouldn't be joining Arsenal this summer. He would continue to spend the first season at Saint Etienne so he can continue his development. And again, the suggestions are, despite Arsenal's reduced transfer budget, what it would mean is that wouldn't count into their money, so it wouldn't take away any of the money they've got this summer. So really interesting to see what will happen with Arsenal now Edu is in charge, what players they can bring in. Will this speed up the whole Wilfred Zaha transfer? We shall have to wait and see. Right, as said earlier, we're going to be speaking Charlton. We've got Chris Thompson, Charlton fan of the year. That's a hell of a accolade. Chris, congratulations on that first of all, and good evening, welcome to the show. Is Chris there? Chris is not there. We'll get him in a second. Yeah, we'll talk about Charlton. They've been fairly busy, actually, already in the transfer market this summer. They brought in the Leighton Orient striker Macaulay Bon for around £200,000 the last two seasons, banging in the goals in the National League. Zimbabwean international, they've got him for around £200,000. It'll be very interesting to see if he can make that step up to Championship football. It's a big old jump, isn't it? But you'd suspect under Lee Bowyer and at Charlton, he would get an opportunity to do that. I think we have now got Chris on the line. Chris, hello.
Hi, Jake.
Yay, there he is. Yeah, Chris Thompson, Charlton fan of the year. Mate, congratulations. Just quickly, how on earth do you go about getting that? Is it just being the loudest and also being at every single game?
Well, if it was the loudest, I certainly wouldn't get it. Yeah, I did go to every game, but it's not quite fan of the year. It's a special supporters award, if you like. Somebody nominated different each year. It's the Fans Forum, which is a body of fans from various organisations, meet with members of the club. But the actual fans on the forum, between them, elect who they think should be fan of the year, for lack of a better expression. How they do that, I don't know. I'm not on the forum. I was very, very pleased to get it. Nice little trophy to put in my man cave.
Yeah, and two right too. Look, Chris, are you excited about being back in the Championship?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's Charlton's natural level. If we're in the Prem, it's great, but I think they overachieve. If we're in League One, then they're underachieving. It is their natural level. Having said that, I think the Championship is a very different animal to the one we left. It is, you know, Premiership 2 by any other name. There's big hitters in there with lots of money to spend. Charlton obviously aren't going to match them for financial clout. So much is going to depend on Steve Gallen's ability in to unearth gems in the market that we can afford, and also Lee Bowyer's coaching skills, together with his ability he has to mould unit and team spirit. I mean, I've never seen team spirit like it. You know how sort of fractious the atmosphere has been towards the owner at the Valley, but in Bowyer days, it's all been as one. It's like the good old days. We're all together, we're all behind the team, and barely a mention of De Chatelet. And that is all down to Lee Bowyer, ably assisted by Johnny Jackson, of course.
Yeah, no, it's a really, really good point, Chris, that you know you do see lots of videos, and you know I speak to the guys as well at the Charlton Fan Show here, and there does seem to be this togetherness within the squad, which you know I suppose does feel rather strange when so many people are against the ownership of the football club. But let's not talk about this even. Let's talk about the players that have come in. Charlton have managed to bring a few bodies in already. I mentioned Macaulay Bonn just a few moments ago, and also Chuck Sanike. We'll start there. Two attacking players. Of what you know of them, of perhaps what you've seen of them, do you think they'll complement or improve what is already at the football club?
Bonn is very much one for the future, Bowyer has said. I think had we remained in League One, he has said that he envisaged him partnering Lyle Taylor up front. He thinks the Championship straight away could be a step too far. I think he'll start his career at the Valley on the bench, maybe come on to make an impact. But he's a hard-working lad. His goals per game ratio is very good. I understand he misses a few. His goals per chance ratio is maybe not as good, but they will develop that. Bowyer's a master at making players better, shall we say. So I'm hopeful with him. I don't expect him to take the world by storm early on, but he's a useful addition to the squad. Chuck Sanike obviously started at Arsenal.
Yeah, an interesting story with him, isn't there?
There is, and you know, Charlton have fancied him for some while and never quite managed to pull it off. Bowyer, I think, sees him as a number 10, scoring more than his fair share of goals from midfield, though he can perform up front if need be. I know Lee is looking to bring in another two strikers. If he falls a little short on that, then I'm sure Anique will be used up front as well. He has that ability to do the twin roles. But if you can use him as a goal-scoring midfielder, that would be, you know, incredible.
And how important was it, Chris, to bring some extra firepower in this season? Because there was, of course, Lyle Taylor, and he does a great job. He's a great player, and fingers crossed he makes that step up and he makes that transition as seamlessly as can be hoped. But, of course, you lost Carlisle Grant, didn't you, in January to Huddersfield, which is going to be playing at the same level as you next season. But you know, Josh Parker came in, and he did an OK job, but it does feel that there was an obvious need for more firepower to take that pressure off Lyle next season.
Yeah, for sure, especially at you know, a higher level. You know, to be fair, Lyle has never played this far up the scale before.
No.
So he's going to have to find his feet as well. And he definitely will need assistance. And I think the strength of clubs overall, teams in the Championship, the strikers, whoever they may be, will need assistance from midfield. And that's where the likes of Anique, you know, chipping in with his goals will be very important. But yeah, you would like to see them sign a proven striker, but I don't think they've got the budget for that. The route they're probably going to have to go down is getting someone from a Prem club, a promising youngster, and hope that he hits the ground running. Nikit from Arsenal has been mentioned. Certainly, I think there will be plenty of competition for his signature. What Charlton have going in their favour is they have a good relationship with Arsenal. Bilic done remarkably well at the Valley last year. He got his full quota of games, so that may count in our favour in terms of getting players from Arsenal. But again, he will be unproven. And this is going to be it, Michelle. There are going to be a lot of players unproven at this level. And hopefully they take teams by surprise while they find their feet and get off to a reasonable start.
Yeah, no, it'll be interesting to see. Chris, thanks for joining me this evening.
My pleasure.
There we are. That was Chris Thompson, a big Charlton fan. So big, you can call him Charlton Fan of the Year. You know what? That is some going, isn't it? When you think just how many people support each football club, how many people go week in, week out to be named the best one. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Just going to bring you up to date with a couple more transfer stories, rumours from the day. We've spoken about Maxi Gomez so many times. I think I was actually talking about him just yesterday on this same show, and then there was hope still that West Ham would be able to bring him from Celta Vigo. They'd activated his release clause at around £45 million, but it was thought that his preference was to stay in La Liga and sign for Valencia. Valencia were also interested in him. Well, the story is now that deal is completely off because there was not an agreement on that payment structure. So whilst they'd activated the release clause at £45 million, they couldn't agree in terms of how that £45 million would be paid over the course of the seasons. I can only presume Celta Vigo wanted more of that up front than West Ham were willing to offer. So whether West Ham now go back in for him or they turn their attentions to another striker, we'll have to wait and see, because as things stand for West Ham, they've only got Jordan Hugel. Yes, he is still there. And also Javier Hernandez, who's also been told that he can leave the football club as the only striking options. When you consider the season kicks off in just over 3 weeks, it does leave them desperately short. I mean, West Ham, they've got some great players and they've brought in some good ones. But as things stand with regard to striking options, they are incredibly, incredibly weak. So that will be a big blow to West Ham fans to hear that today. A deal that was completed today, and it was another striker, was Jay Rodriguez. The former Burnley striker, that's where he started his career. He has returned to Burnley, a £10 million transfer. Rather interestingly, Burnley tried to sign him last year, and I believe they had a bid turned down of at least double that. Well, they've just sat tight for 12 months, and they've managed to get him for £12 million. He's a 29-year-old, and he scored 41 goals in 129 games last time out for Burnley. Not prolific, but he is a player that you think fits into Sean Dyche's system and certainly do a job for them next season. You are listening to the Transfer Rumour Mill. Up next, we're going to talk Chelsea with Jonathan Kidd. Of course, it won't be about incoming players, because we all know about that transfer ban, but there are suggestions that a number of their players who've been out on loan last year or have been on the periphery could be heading back out, despite the fact that Frank is unable to bring in new players. So Jonathan Kidd will join me on the show next.
Love Sport.
Yeah, welcome back to Love Sport Radio. It's the Transfer Rumour Mill until 10 p.m. this evening. Again, just bringing you up to speed with a couple of transfer deals that have been done or rumours that we can quash. One that I can quash for you this evening is Max Ahrens to Crystal Palace. The Norwich City youngster enjoyed a stellar season, named in the Championship Team of the Year. I think he was named Championship Apprentice of the Year as well. Well, he was linked with a move to both Manchester United and Crystal Palace. Rumours are Crystal Palace did put in a bid of around £10 million. Well, today Max Ahrens has signed a brand new 5-year deal to keep him at Norwich City. It spells a very, very busy summer for Norwich City, not with regards to bringing in players, but keeping the ones they've already got. I believe after the signing of Christoph Zimmermann as well, their defender, every single player in their starting 11 has signed a new contract over the course of the last summer. So Stuart Webber and Daniel Farke rewarding Norwich for that outstanding season last year, taking them back to the Premier League. But it is time to talk Chelsea now. Jonathan Kidd from the Chelsea Fancast. Jonathan, good evening.
Hello.
Hello, mate. Look, I was just thinking, we can't talk about transfers coming in at Chelsea, can we? What are we doing? Why are you on the show?
I'm pleased because we're normally associated with every single dreadful player, but anybody and everybody. I mean, last year I think there were 27 different players in a week that we were associated with, none of whom would ever have a sniff of going to Chelsea, and it was just completely made up by the media. But no, it's refreshing, isn't it?
Are you not a fan of a transfer rumour? I mean, clearly, no, I
love it with other teams, but I don't like right. Chelsea, because everybody embraces these things as if they're the truth, which I find. What was it? There was one the other day. Leon Knight is returning to Chelsea.
He'd still do a job.
Could he?
yeah. No, I follow him closely on Twitter. He's like all the other footballers. He's posting videos on Instagram of him on the rowing machine. He's clearly in decent nick. You need a striker. You know, let's not quash that.
But apparently, there was the rumour, of course, that Morata was coming back, but that was. I think the theory was that we asked for him to come back, and he immediately panicked and he activated that part of his contract that means he has to be bought at the end of the season, which I think suits him and his wife and his hairdryer and his hair. But no, he was a terrible fit for Chelsea, unfortunately, the poor boy. But Giroud. It'll be Giroud, Abraham, or Batshuayi will be one of the three.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you about, because you know we can talk about players potentially leaving. I've just had the Crystal Palace guys in for their fan show, and they were somewhat hopeful. I mean, I think they were wistfully hopeful that they could perhaps get Batshuayi back because of this.
Oh,
transfer.
Are they fans of Batshuayi? Did they think
he
played well?
Yeah, they well. I don't think he necessarily pulled up any trees. He's just he's much better than Benteke and Jordan Ayew and Connor Wickham and Soros. So they've got lots of strikers. But yeah, they would like Batshuayi back. Do you think there's any chance he'll head back out, or do you think he's going to have to stay?
No, I think he'll head back out. I'm not convinced he's the brightest tool in the box, I've been told, and that was the problem that Conte had with him. And I think Abraham's a much more intelligent striker. I mean, fantastic in the 6-yard box. I mean, I'm interested to hear what Palace would have said about him, because I met a Palace fan who was saying how wonderful Loftus-Cheek was in the period that he played for them. Yeah. And you don't get an opportunity to really see how players are playing. Despite being aware of them, you just see the few goals he scored. He just seems to be very capable of putting the ball in the box in front of goal. But it was his work beforehand, and I'm afraid managers require you to be more competent in other areas of the pitch nowadays. I mean, even Hazard was criticised for that. And that's another problem with Giroud as well. I don't think Giroud is really quite up to the speed that you're supposed to play at. And if he gets the service, fair enough. Whereas Abraham, I think, is more of an all-round player. Because he seems to be slightly more athletic, or just seems to be bright enough to get into positions that the manager requires. You know, it's that business of just getting back into defence nowadays, isn't it? Rather than being available just for the ball punted up the pitch, which I know Frank can play occasionally. He did that at Derby last year. He just played long ball, but that's because he's quite adept at switching the tactics round, which I think is a good thing actually. Well, it's a good thing for lots of. The older Chelsea fan who vaguely knows a bit about tactics is aware that playing the same plan doesn't work, you know, when you're losing. So,
but one room I have seen today, I'd like to get your take on this. Timu Bakayoko. Now, he's been on loan, hasn't he, AC Milan. I've seen today both Arsenal and Manchester United linked with him.
Well, good luck to them. Sign him at your peril, not even at your peril. Sign him, get him. I mean, he was absolutely terrible. He ended up not being able to. He was so low on confidence, he couldn't control the ball in his last few games for Chelsea. And I'm not even convinced that he did wonderfully well at Milan. I mean, Frank will find out, won't he? He'll make a decision early on. It's like Zuma. I'm not convinced that Zuma will end up being at Chelsea. I think he'll be sold to Everton. I think that would be the best move for him, because they've got too many centre halves. You know, if Ampadu should play, Ampadu's got a tackle like a nutcracker, fantastic tackle. He should be given an opportunity. Very decent player. But they've also got Luiz, Rudiger and Christensen. I don't quite see where Zuma gets in. And I think they'd be more keen on getting the 30 million. I think he's, you know, he's an excellent player, Zuma. But I, once again, will he fit in with the... With Frank's plan, will he fit in? I'm not convinced. I'm interested to see what Frank does. I mean, I said to you the other day, I think people are going to be disappointed by the lack of centre halves. I think even Azpilicueta will end up possibly playing centre half if they then play Reece James. I think he might get into the first team playing right back. But I think because Dave Azpilicueta is a much better centre half than he is a fullback.
Yeah,
and it didn't fit into Sarri's game. And it's weirdly, it fitted into, because he played centre half under Conte when he played three at the back there. It'd be interesting to see whether the youth do get an opportunity to come through. I think he'll have them in the first team. I'm not even convinced that Mason Mount will get in the side. Because, you know, they've got Pulisic now. They've got, they've still got Jorginho. He doesn't appear to be going anywhere. They've got Kante, of course. And you then think, well, they've got Kovacic and they've got Barkley. Where does Mount go?
Yeah,
he'll
no,
be in the squad,
I agree.
But I'm keen. I think Frank will be very aware of trying to get the youth in, but they've got a team of excellent players still, who were even without Hazard, they scored some, they won some decent games last year without Hazard. So you know, to write them off just because it's a new manager and they haven't got Hazard anymore would be foolish, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree. Jonathan, cheers for your time, mate.
Thank you. Lovely to speak, as always. Lovely
as always. Thanks, mate. Thank you very much. Jonathan Kidd there, Chelsea Fancast, regular voice, isn't he, on the Chelsea Fan Show. Speaks a lot of sense and also speaks in a lot of different voices. A very talented man is Kidder. We've just been speaking at Chelsea there. And I agree with him. I think that people are expecting lots of changes at Chelsea next year, which I don't think are that forthcoming. And you talk about the transfer ban. Well, there are players that are returning to the club that will almost feel like new signings. And they have actually managed to almost trick the system a little bit by bringing in Pulisic. They've got a 60 million quid player coming in this summer, despite the fact there is a transfer ban. So I think actually it's not going to be as stale or in terms of the players they've got. And I don't think it's going to be as new with regards to the young players coming in as people are perhaps talking about. And as Jonathan says, they have still got a very good team. I actually fancy Chelsea at this moment in time to finish above both Manchester United and Arsenal to be in that top four. That's just how I see it. Again, some transfer rumours to bring you up to date with Everton, one of a number of clubs looking to sign Man City's Fabian Delph. He looks like he will be on the move this summer, now 29 years old. He's been told by Man City that, yes, they'd like to keep him, but if there is a decent offer, they'd understand if he wants to leave for more first-team football. And you'd expect an England international and someone of Delph's versatility, there'd be no shortage of admirers for his signature. Can do a very decent job at fullback and also central midfield. And to know what would be rather interesting as well, whether his England career will continue, because there's been a stick thrown at him or hit with over the years that the only reason he's in the England squad is because he plays for Manchester City. So what I think is interesting is I can imagine Fabian Delph moving away from Manchester City and being a Premier League regular, but actually losing his England place because he's no longer at Manchester City. Do you see what I'm saying? It's a rather interesting concept, isn't it? So yeah, we'll wait and see with Fabian Delph where he ends up. But Everton, one of a number of Premier League clubs, rumoured to be interested in taking him away from Manchester City this summer. Right, you are listening to the Transfer Rumour Mill Show here on Love Sport Radio with myself, Jake Watson. When we come back, we're going to drop out of the Premier League and into the Championship. We're going to speak to Gab Sutton from Football Lab. We'll do a full roundup. I want to do a particular focus this evening on Luton Town.
Love Sport.
Yeah, and it is the Transfer Rumour Mill Show on until 10 p.m. this evening. It is Jake Watson in for Johnny Burrow tonight. We've been going through the big transfer stories regarding some of the bigger clubs in world football over the last half an hour or so. But I think it's time to turn our attentions down into the Championship. Gab Sutton from the Football Lab is on the phone now. Gab, hello. Good evening.
Evening, Jake. How are you?
Yeah, mate, I'm not too bad at all. If it's okay with you, mate, I kind of want to have a little chat about Luton, if that's all right.
Go ahead, yeah.
I've been a little bit interesting because they've been going great guns, you know, consecutive promotions into the Championship. It's a great story. But at the same time, as often is the case when success happens, the big boys come and take your prized assets. Now, Nathan Jones left at the back end of last season. They were already going so well last season that Mick Harford just basically oversaw proceedings, didn't he? Just kept them ticking over. So he did a perfectly fine job. They have now got Graham Jones in as the manager, but they've lost now James Justin and Jack Stacey in the transfer window, two of their best players. Have they managed to bring anyone else in? And is there kind of a little bit of concern now that the train of success and momentum that Luton have had is kind of just going to stop really quite with a big old halt as the Championship season starts?
Well, I think there's two things here. I think in terms of the squad, I'd absolutely agree with you. I think anyone who watched Luton last season would say that their fullbacks, incredibly important, Jack Stacey and James Justin, because they both had pace, they both had power, both very intelligent and good on the ball, and they both offered Luton sort of an outlet. And I think when you play with a diamond system, it's incredibly important that your fullbacks offer the width, and Stacey and Justin did that. I think it's very important that Luton find the right replacements for those two, and I'm sure that they will do that. In terms of concerns, I could understand if Luton fans are worried about that particular position. I wouldn't necessarily say or expect them to be concerned about their position as a club generally. I think, let's not forget that they were in non-league 5 years ago, so they're now in the Championship and playing against teams that have come down from the Premier League. So they've come a long, long way. And I think they've got a good structure in place. So I would be inclined to trust the people at the club to make the right decisions.
Have they managed to do any business at the moment with regarding to bringing some players in? Because, you know, they have been financially, you know, well rewarded or recompensed for those two players that have gone.
Yeah, I mean, they've brought in Ryan Tunnicliffe, who I thought was a bit unlucky to be released by Millwall myself. I mean, whenever I watched him, he always put a good shift in, someone who could, drive forward with the ball. And I think he can make a bit of a contribution to Luton this season. So I think that's a good signing. Of course, they do need to replace the two fullbacks.
Yeah, now it'll be interesting to see how Luton do next season. Nottingham Forest, they've had a conveyor belt of managers coming in and out. And as is often the case, you know, each one of those managers wants to bring in their own players. To the point now that Nottingham Forest have been left with about 40 first team players and they're still very much active. Sabine Lamouchi, the new boss, is bringing some players of his own.
Yeah, he is. I think he inherited quite a big squad already. I mean, the worry that I would have for Forest is I look at Lewis Graben, Jai Carvalho, Joe Lolly, and Milosevic, centre-back. Four good players who I would say sort of guaranteed top six performers. I think beyond that, I think you're looking at a lot of 5 or 6 out of 10 type players who could develop into something good or who might not turn out as hoped. And I think there's a lot of sort of project players who ideally you'd want to give them a run of games. And if they are going to get good, that's how they're going to do it, through playing a lot of games. But because you've got so many of those players in that squad, how do you sort of balance them? So I can understand why Lamouchi is looking to strengthen the squad. And one of the signings, I think the Silver Lad, they brought in from Benfica, some very positive reviews about him. But I do think they need to offload players as well.
Yeah, well, we've seen links with Albert Adoma. Looks like that's fairly close to being confirmed for Nottingham Forest. He's carved a career almost as being one of these players that is a top-end Championship player, can help you get promoted, but isn't quite good enough for the Premier League.
Yeah, I can see where that assessment's coming from. I mean, he's been playing sort of near the top of the Championship for pretty much the last 5 years. And he's been part of sort of top six teams at Middlesbrough and Aston Villa and all the rest of it. So I can see the logic in terms of why Forest brought him in. The one concern for me would be that I think in the last 12 months, certainly at Aston Villa, his pace has declined slightly. And I do think that's impacted his form, because I think when he was a very good player at Championship level, that was the main thing that you looked at Albert Adoma for. So, you know, is he still a good enough cross-river ball to make up for not being able to always beat fullback? He might be. But I don't know. I'm not sure how much of a contribution he'll make, but we shall see.
Jack Butland, England goalkeeper. Do you expect him to be on the move this summer? It feels that Stoke are asking for a bit too much cash for him.
Possibly, yeah. I mean, this is one of the sort of top three or four English goalkeepers. And they seem to come at a premium these days. So I can understand why they're digging their heels in a bit. And of course, clubs like Aston Villa, they've just got promoted to the Premier League and they've got very wealthy owners. So I can understand why Stoke are holding out for as much as possible. But I think that Jack Butland had a very good season last year, and I think he deserves to play in the Premier League.
Yeah, no, I do tend to agree, and it'll be nice to see how it is. I mean, it needs to happen as well for Stoke for financial reasons. But Gab, one player who was away with England under 21s during the summer was Kieran Dowell. He is highly rated at Everton, but he's incredibly unlikely to be within their first team setup this year. He's now 21 years old, had a couple of decent loan spells, hasn't he? Initiate Nottingham Forest, he did well there. Last season, Sheffield United. A couple of clubs looking to bring him on loan again this season. Feels like it'd be a good signing for a Championship club. I think Derby and Huddersfield are keen to take him.
Yeah, definitely. The other thing as well is that you've got him after he's already got a couple of loan spells under his belt. So whereas if you bring in like an 18, 19-year-old from Everton, you wouldn't really know what he's going to do at Championship level. He could be brilliant. He could be not so good. I think what we've seen is he's been... he's performed well, as you mentioned, at Nottingham Forest, scored a couple of absolutely cracking goals under Mark Warburton when he played there a couple of seasons ago. Obviously made a contribution to Sheffield United's promotion, albeit not playing every week. So he's established himself as someone you can rely on to perform to a certain level in the Championship. And I think for either Derby, need someone to replace Mason Mount, possibly Huddersfield. Yeah, I think it'd be a great signing.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think Kieran Dowell, he's probably, again, right now, just on that kind of periphery of being a Premier League player, but right now would certainly do a job for all those bigger Championship clubs. Gab, I want to pick your brains a little bit on a potential move for a Championship manager. The big story coming out of Sheffield today, the Sheffield Wednesday manager, Steve Bruce, is one of the names under consideration to take over at Newcastle United. Now, we know that Brucey, he's a Geordie, isn't he? He's a Newcastle-born lad. He has, of course, also managed Sunderland. Could you see this happening? Because he did a decent job going into Sheffield Wednesday last season.
Not really, no. I mean, I agree with you in terms of him doing a good job at Sheffield Wednesday. And I do think he did sort of lift the mood there. And I think that they... sort of played, you know, they played direct, but they played with sort of intent, getting it off Fletcher and people like Forestieri. So I think he's a good manager at Championship level, albeit slightly off season at Villa. But yeah, I, in terms of the Premier League, since he had that first couple of good seasons at Birmingham, I mean, this was going back to 2004, he's not really done it at a Premier League level. So I think that would be the main question there. And I also think that in terms of the mutiny at Newcastle, I feel that Rafa Benitez was the one person sort of holding things together there, because he's perceived as, he's got that sort of aura as being perceived as a world-class player. And I think that was a big part of why they finished in the top half in one season and then sort of stayed up last season. Whereas I think if you put Bruce there, who hasn't got that aura necessarily, albeit as a Newcastle fan, I think that's where you're going to have problems. So I don't think he'd be a good appointment.
Sorry,
for Newcastle.
Gab, are you a Newcastle fan?
I'm not a Newcastle
You're not,
fan.
Sorry, no. Sorry. I thought for a moment you were saying that. So, but with Bruce, yeah, I feel that whilst I agree with pretty much everything you've just said, that he probably wouldn't take Newcastle to the next level. And he certainly isn't an upgrade, is he, on what they've just had? But it does feel like, you know, a realistic appointment in the sense of I'd imagine Bruce would be keen to make it happen. Because he is a Geordie, and he jobs like that don't come around for someone like Steve, particularly at his age, you know, and he's not been in the Premier League for a couple of seasons. And also for Mike Ashley, it's a gettable target, and you just get the impression that he cannot be bothered to go around and search and interview loads of managers.
Yeah, I mean, I think I get that impression as well. I mean, it does feel very much, I can't say that I'm... someone who I'm more interested in the Championship these days, but in terms of the Premier League, you do get the impression that actually he's just interested in getting the Premier League TV money and spending as little as possible to achieve that. But for me, in terms of Newcastle as a club, in terms of where they want to get to in the modern era, is Steve Bruce really going to take you to the next level? I don't think he is. And I think that that there's a lot of sort of young managers that are up and coming with fresh ideas that could do a better job even under the Ashley regime. So it's not an appointment that that I think they should go with.
No, I agree. But I just think he'd keep them in the Premier League, and that's enough, isn't it, for Ashley? One transfer, Gab, that has been confirmed and raised eyebrows, I think, in the Championship was that of Pontus Janssen, the Leeds United defender. He's done brilliantly for them over the last few seasons. It is strange that he's made the move to Brentford, is it not?
Yeah, I'd agree. For me, although Leeds' defence hadn't looked brilliant in the last few weeks of last season, I still would have trusted that centre-back partnership of Janssen and Cooper and maybe sort of looked at the goalkeeping position there. But clearly there's been a little bit of a disagreement with Janssen and Bielsa that has caused this move to happen. And I also think you've got to recognise what this means for Brentford, because there's no way on earth that when they came into this league 5 years ago, they would have been able to attract someone who was a key part of a team sort of competing for promotion. It just wouldn't have happened. But I think because they've sold the Hogans, the Greys, the Jotters, all these sorts of players that's built up their profits from key player sales, they've actually they're shopping in a much higher market, and they're therefore able to sign these types of players. So I think this just shows how far they've come, and they could be a threat next season.
Yeah, no, I agree. Gab, thanks for your time tonight, mate.
No problem. Thanks for having me, Jack.
No problem at all. There we are. Gab Sutton from Football Lab. Just going through all those Championship stories. Pontus Janssen, it is an interesting one, isn't it? You know, you feel over the last few seasons, he's done such a good job for Leeds. Rumours, suggestions that didn't quite buy into the Bielsa brotherhood family. So he was offered around to various clubs or just anyone and everyone, and it was only Brentford who took up on that £5 million deal. And you know, you speak to Leeds fans and you go on Twitter and read the tweets from Leeds fans, they trust Bielsa, but at the same time they feel that you would have thought that a Premier League club would have come in for him, or at the very least a bigger club than Brentford. I do mean that in the greatest of respect for them, but for Brentford indeed, it's a moving away from their model. Usually they go buy relatively cheap from across the continent and develop the players. Pontus Janssen, again, he's no spring chicken, but in terms of a Championship top quality defender, he is certainly that, isn't he? So yeah, that was Gab Sutton there talking about the Championship. Need to take a break until 10 p.m. this evening. When we do come back, James Richards, he's absolutely brilliant. He's from the D3 D4 website. We're talking about D3 and D4. That's League 1 and League 2, if you couldn't work that out for yourself. So we'll go through some of the big transfer stories regarding those teams next.
This is Love Sport.
Yeah, welcome back. It is the Transfer Room Mill Show here on Love Sport Radio. Jake was with you until around, 10 p.m? And then Johnny Burrow will take back over from proceedings next week. With that transfer window just ticking down, it's going so, so quick. Clubs need to move quickly. But let's move down into Division 3 and Division 4. That's League 1 and League 2. James Richards joins us on the phone now. James, good evening.
How's it going, guys? Not bad.
James, it's going very, very well indeed. Do you know what? It's a little bit strange, though, doing the Transfer Rumour Mill Show regarding Leagues 1 and League 2, because there's just not as much gossip, is there? It feels that transfers will happen without a newspaper report, where usually in the Premier League, there are kind of reports for weeks. You know when it's going to happen, don't you? You're just waiting for it to happen.
Yeah, I think in League 1 and 2, people are aware of it. I mean, there's a few which are bubbling under the surface all the time. I suppose it's not when you're a club that's got 3,000 season ticket holders, it's not going to generate as much news as if you're a club with 30,000. So I suppose it's all relative, really. But there are some good moves potentially happening over the coming couple of weeks, I would imagine.
Yeah, no, and what I tend to do, James, to keep abreast of particularly League One, just follow Darren McAntony, the Peterborough chairman on Twitter. He will answer anything about any player, won't he?
Yeah, no, he's pretty good. He's very much worth a follow. Actually, very good guy if you want to have a bit of an insight of what it is like running a club at that level. Yeah, he doesn't take falls lightly either, which is quite funny.
No, he doesn't at all. Peterborough, though, has ever been fairly busy in the market. I don't know why, I've always had a bit of a soft spot for Peterborough. I like the way they go about business. As you mentioned there, I do clearly have a bit of a soft spot for Darren McAntony as well. They've brought in some decent players, haven't they, this summer?
Yeah, they do every year. They have a good clear out. I mean, the fact that they've kept Ivan Toney and brought in Moisa as well, I think those two have, going forward will be extremely good value for the goals this season. But I think overall Peterborough back with Darren Ferguson, it could be a successful season. They invest in the right areas, and they, you know, they're sensible. They were in for George Edmondson, but unfortunately for them, he went to Rangers. I mean, he was a great young player that was always destined for better things. And but they have this policy where they look very closely. Frankie Kent is a very good defender. I was speaking to the assistant manager at Colchester last night, and you know, he wished him well, saying that, you know, Peterborough got him for a good deal. Good deal for both clubs, I think, really. And Frankie's gone up a division to progress his career with a club that is renowned for doing just that, really.
Mm. Yeah, no, absolutely. Staying in League One, AFC Wimbledon, again, a club I've got a bit of a soft spot for. Did some business today. Michael Falivi re-signed for the club.
Yeah, very sensible decision. I thought he was quite impressive in his short spell with them, on loan from Watford at the end of last season. You know, they, from what I'm hearing, that there's interest in, is it Joe Piggott? I think
from Reading, I believe. Someone.
Yeah, well, Reading are one of the teams. I think there was another club mentioned in the Championship as well, looking at him potentially. I wouldn't be surprised at all. Reading used to have a very good transfer policy where they raided the lower leagues for people like David Kitson, Martin Butler, Nicky Forster, Jamie Curtin, all these players who came through from lower leagues. They kind of went away from that a little bit in recent seasons. And I think very sensibly, if they can go back to doing that, there's going to be some excellent business and excellent deals to be had. I think Piggott would be a good player at a level above. I think Reading's a good club for a player like him as well, because they're a nurturing club and they give players an opportunity.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I agree. I saw a fair amount of Joe Piggott last season in a very obviously struggling Wimbledon side, wasn't it? In a very, very decent goal return indeed. So you'd imagine there will be interest. It's just hopeful, really, for Wimbledon's perspective. They're fairly compensated. But James, let's talk about a bit of managerial news. It's not a transfer rumour or whatever, but it's good news, I think, for Blackpool. Simon Grayson, he's back at the football club.
Yeah, I think it looks like that was kind of on the burners all the time, because they weren't sure whether McPhillips was going to re-sign.
What's happened, sorry, with McPhillips? Have you got any insight on that? Because it wasn't until I saw it break the other day, and I just presumed, because the new owner had gone in at Blackpool, that perhaps there'd been a difference in opinions in terms of taking the club forward. Or is there something else I've missed?
Well, from what I gather, it's nothing like that has happened. It's just simply that he didn't really want to be a manager, and he stepped in to keep the continuity last season, did an excellent job. I wouldn't be surprised to see him turn up at Bradford back with Gary Bowyer. That wouldn't surprise me one bit. So
right.
I'd watch that space. I would expect him to turn up there. I mean, he's a very good coach, obviously capable of being a manager when required, and did a phenomenal job, and actually has signed some very good players before leaving. So Simon Grayson inherits a pretty good squad, a team in good shape.
Yeah, Sully Kaikai, didn't he sign the other day?
Yeah, Sully Kaikai's gone there. They've got Jamie Devitt, who was a whirlwind of a player in League Two last season. If they can keep Curtis Tilt, that will be a massive coup for them, because he's a brilliant signing out of Wrexham last year, and everybody's after him, from what I'm hearing. So keeping hold of him will be massive for them. But yeah, I think Sully Kaikai is an interesting player. He's actually out in NAC Breda in Holland, but obviously came through the Crystal Palace youth ranks, so good player.
Freddie Ladapo, he's been on the move, hasn't he? Signed for Rotherham, wasn't it, after a decent season at Plymouth. Do you expect him to do the business next season? Because he's been one of those players, isn't he, James, that's been around a little while. He's picked out from the non-leagues, and there was kind of a lot of hope on him. But it was only really last season, wasn't it? And he's no spring chicken. I know he's not old, but he's 26. That he really kind of came to life. Do you think he now has that ability to take that level up?
We'll see. I'm not sold on him completely. I think he's had one good season in his career, really. That was last year with Plymouth. So he's quite individualistic, splits opinion. I think he's a bit of a maverick, and it sometimes works, it sometimes doesn't. But there's no doubt that, you know, he's in a team like Plymouth that was struggling last season to score the number of goals he did, suggests that he has that ability. And he could just be one of those players that blooms late. I mean, the other player that everyone's waiting to see where he turns up is Tom Eaves, of course, left from left from Gillingham. Rumours that he was going to go to Charlton. I was under the impression he was going to train with them as part of the pre-season programme with a view to sign, but it seems to have gone a bit cold on that one, so we're not sure where he's going to end up next season.
OK, James, going to have to leave it there, mate. Thanks for your time. Stories about Fredo Dapi, by the way. He signed for AFC Wimbledon, but he climbed out of the toilet door because he didn't fancy it. You have been listening to the Transfer Rumour Mill. It has been Jake Watson. Johnny Burrow will be back next week. Have a very good evening.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.